You're listening to the MOA broadcast with Sam Wilson. Will you make it out alive? And we are ready for the second half of the MOA broadcast. Thank you for sticking around and thank you for joining us. Don't forget, if you have any suggestions or questions, you can shoot us an email at info@gearconvoy.com. There you can leave suggestions, ask questions, or if you want to get something on air, you can do that too. We also have a Patreon page. If you would like to get the video version of this podcast, go to Patreon, the www.patreon.com/gearconvoy, I believe. Look for Gear Convoy or Sam Wilson MOA broadcast. You can find it there. The links are also on our website at www.gearconvoy.com. It's all over the place. You can't miss it. But the video adds a little nice touch. And there's also subscriptions and things you can do to get more features. Now, that being said, we left off the first half. We were talking about a vehicle emergency kit. We didn't get to knife. You need to have a knife in there as well. Like I said, most guys, knives are like flashlights. Most guys in America are going to have two or three knives, you know, stashed around, pocket knives, emergency knives, whatever, in their truck, in a toolbox, whatever else. So that usually isn't a big problem. You may want a small hatchet or a saw or machete or whatever, depending on where you're at, but usually a cutting implement of some sort. The idea, again, with all of the underlying theme with all that we do here, the idea is to hopefully prevent yourself from being found in one of these emergency situations in the first place. Sometimes it cannot be avoided. It's happened to me on a number of occasions, things that were completely beyond my control. And, you know, you got to be prepared. And if you're not, then you pay the price. Like when my dad and I had to walk home in the middle of the night or walk to a farmhouse, thank goodness that the homeowner was not trigger happy. I mean, some people literally come out shooting first and they ask questions later. So anyway, where we left off, though, was the other item I didn't really get to was signaling device. Now, you may ask yourself, why is a signaling device, or why could a signaling device be important? We're going to do a quick news story here from an Arizona case. Now, this is a little bit different than a roadside emergency. This guy was a hiker. But we're going to read through this, take a couple of minutes, because it's very applicable. And this shows what the potential penalty or cost can be for not being prepared. An Arizona hiker who appealed his conviction for starting wildfires after getting lost on the trail has been ordered to pay nearly $300,000 in restitution to the U.S. Forest Service. Well, let's get into it. District Judge Michael T. Liberti, sorry if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, delivered his verdict earlier this week in the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, saying that Philip Powers had acted unreasonably when he set the fires. So let's get into what happened here. Hiker Powers was day hiking in hot weather in the Coconino National Forest in May of 2018 when he became lost and started a small fire to try to attract rescuers. Not unreasonable on its own. Fire restrictions were in effect in the area at the time, so there's a bit of a fine line. According to reporting by the Arizona Daily Independent, the following day, Powers started two more fires when he ran out of water and had to drink his own urine. Now, I don't know why people continue to do this. I don't know. There may be some benefit. I've done a lot of research on this. Most of the research I've come across has been, you're not really doing yourself any good. Each time you consume or drink water, the wastes are excreted out. Okay, so once it cycles through the body and becomes urine, now it's packed with or at least contains a certain concentration of waste materials. When you drink it again, it gets cycled out again, and those concentrations of waste materials and potentially hazardous chemicals become higher. So you're really not doing yourself any favors. I suppose there may be some benefit to it, but medically, most of what I've read has been pretty much against it. That's another story, though. We don't give out medical advice here, just our observations. Now, that being said, thinking he had failed to attract the attention of a helicopter after setting the third fire, Powers continued hiking and left behind a still smoldering blaze. which ultimately engulfed 230 acres before it was brought under control. More than 100 firefighters, 5 helicopters, 1 air attack, 4 crews, and 1 fire engine were involved in the firefighting effort. That's a big deal. Firefighters are very serious. Wildfires are very serious. This wasn't technically a wildfire. It's a forest fire, or however they classify it. Technically, that might be arson. I'm not sure. Either way, whatever it is, not sure on the terminology there. We get wildfires every year just about here in Oregon. And I mean, it is no joke, man. And we saw what happened in LA and California recently. We've got, I think they, what was it, North Carolina? It was a couple of days ago. They're serious. These things can spread rapidly, especially in the middle of summer when you got, you know, dry ground, dry timber. It can get serious. Okay. In 2023, Powers had been found guilty on 7 misdemeanor counts and faced up to 3.5 years in jail. The Tempe resident appealed his conviction based on the necessity defense, claiming he believed he was going to die. He was denied because Liberty said the harm he faced at the time of lighting the fires was not sufficiently imminent, and the defendant did not appear immediately dire to his rescuers when they found him. Powers also failed to use a nearby fire pit nor make any effort to contain the fires, such as clearing dead brush, which was ruled objectively unreasonable. This is why a signaling device is so important. Now, you may not need to use your signaling device, but really the point of this story is to show the contrast. A poor decision, which, you know, is what the courts basically said. He didn't make a good decision and he didn't prepare himself for it. And it cost, you know, what, 230 acres, according to the story, this fire ran. This guy was held accountable for that. He had the idea to start a fire to signal, okay. But in execution, he didn't, you know, apparently he didn't think this all the way through because it spread to 230 acres. Now, the problems, for ramifications for him, well, let's just read the last paragraph. Finally, though Powers had brought food, 3 liters of water, a machete, knife, and lighter, he was not carrying a paper map or compass for navigation, and the judges say he was reckless and negligent in preparing for the hike, ordering him to pay $293,413.71 in restitution costs. So, a couple of takeaways. I mean, number one, fortunately, the guy made it out alive, right? That's the important thing. In one face of it, made it out alive. The sad thing is, it cost 230 acres and nearly $300,000 to square this away. I don't know if he's still appealing this or if they're gonna, you know, if he has any options at this point. But I'll bet he wishes he had had a different method of signaling, or he had let someone know where he was going to be. And the article does even mention PLBs, personal locator beacons. There are a number of these. Some of them are anywhere from a couple hundred bucks up and down in price. And some you have to have a subscription service for and so forth. But that's peanuts compared to $300,000. I would imagine if he had the option to go back, he would he would much rather spend the $250, or they probably got them cheaper. I haven't looked at them in a while, but much better than $300,000. And the headache, you know, how much time that takes to go through years of court like this. And now he's got, I believe he had criminal charges. Well, he's found guilty on 7 misdemeanor counts and faced up to 3.5 years in jail. It doesn't say exactly what the disposition was of the charges and the jail time, but either way, it's a mess. So the other takeaway, the point of this is the courts looked at his preparation, they looked at his gear, they looked at his planning, and they found because he didn't have a paper map or a compass for navigation and maybe who knows whatever else, they found him reckless and negligent in preparing for the hike. Not just the fire, the way he prepared. They said they were kind of saying you could have done more to prevent this by having a paper map or compass or a PLB or notifying someone of where you were going to be. So we're going to hold you liable. That, you know, contributed to the decision, I would imagine, to hold them liable. So the takeaway for us is make sure you're not that person. Don't do that. Learn from this. I learned from my story of, you know, not having a spare tire in the car. Learn from this. Make sure you're prepared ahead of time. Now, we head to Arkansas, Little Rock to be exact, an Arkansas bill that would allow ivermectin, an anti-parasitic drug, to be sold over the counter has passed in the Senate with a 31-4 vote on March 6. Now, before we get into this, I just want to do a quick reminder. As you know, folks, here at the MOA broadcast, we do not get politically involved. We do simply what most of the mainstream news and media used to do, which is give you the facts. Then you make your own decision and your own determinations based on that information. We're not going to tell you how to feel or how to think. We're just going to share the info. Some things do get politically involved, but we remain apolitical in our reporting. Back to the story. Ivermectin tablets are typically used to treat conditions caused by parasitic worms. Topicals can be used to treat head lice and skin conditions like rosacea, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. The drug is also used on animals, pour-ons, injectables, paste, yada, yada, yada. Here is the part we want to talk about. Interest in human use of ivermectin grew when people began taking it to prevent or treat COVID-19, despite the FDA and other health agencies warning against it. The FDA has never authorized or approved ivermectin for that purpose. The Arkansas measure would allow the human use and over-the-counter sale of ivermectin without a prescription or consultation from a healthcare professional. The bill will now head to the House for consideration. Now, excuse me. Why is this important? Well, again, we don't give medical advice. We're not going to tell you what to do one way or another. But if you were around for the pandemic, you could not help but hear about all the conflicting stories about ivermectin, what it should and should not be used for, what it's approved and not approved for by the FDA and other governing bodies. But you couldn't help but if you watch the mainstream media, or as is now being called often, the legacy media, you couldn't help get a certain impression about ivermectin and the people who used it. Now, what I want to do is, this is an article that I had read years ago. And when this whole thing exploded, I remember thinking to myself, okay, ivermectin, what is it? What, I've read about this before. What is going on? Just like with N95 masks and dust masks and so forth, all this research that I had done and read years and years before, I started thinking to myself, I've read about this before. Is that what it said at the time? I want to take you to a research paper from 2011, and then I'm going to read you something more currently, and I want you to see the contrast between the way ivermectin is portrayed and spoken about pre-COVID and then during and post-COVID, okay? I'm just going to read it. You make your own decision. We go to the article, Ivermectin, Wonder Drug from Japan, The Human Use Perspective. Excuse me. Discovered in the late 1970s, the pioneering drug ivermectin, a dihydro derivative of avermectin, originating solely from a single microorganism isolated at the Kitasato Institute, Tokyo, Japan, from Japanese soil, has had an immeasurably beneficial impact in improving the lives and welfare of billions of people throughout the world. Originally introduced as a veterinary drug, it kills a wide range of internal and external parasites in commercial livestock and companion animals. It was quickly discovered to be ideal in combating two of the world's most devastating and disfiguring diseases, which have plagued the world's poor throughout the tropics for centuries. It is now being used free of charge as the sole tool in campaigns to eliminate both diseases globally. It has also been used to successfully overcome several other human diseases, and new uses for it are continually being found. This paper looks in depth at the events surrounding ivermectin's passage from being a huge success in animal health into its widespread use in humans, a development which has led many to describe it as a wonder drug. There are few drugs that can seriously lay claim to the title of wonder drug, penicillin and aspirin being two that have perhaps had greatest beneficial impact on the health and well-being of mankind. But ivermectin can also be considered alongside those worthy contenders based on its versatility, safety, and the beneficial impact that it has had and continues to have worldwide, especially on hundreds of millions of the world's poorest people. Okay, that was a bit long. Glad you stuck with me there. But that was a glowing review about the wonderful benefits of ivermectin, according to this research paper. Okay? Now, before we get to the next part, I'm not going to say use ivermectin to treat COVID-19. I'm not going to give you any kind of medical advice to do or not do. The point of this is we want to look and compare and contrast the way things are portrayed in the media. That was a research paper. Now we're going to look at the mainstream media. And after I finish that, I'm going to tell you why and what the point of this is. Although I'm pretty sure most of you that have been watching the whole world wake up to how the media handled itself in many cases already know where this is going. So we go to a popular, I'm not going to use the magazine. If you really want to know which one it was, you can email us at info@gearconvoy.com. I'll tell you, but I don't want to drag anybody through the mud or try and make somebody look, you know, bad. We're going to cherry pick a few lines out of this article, but it's just for the emphasis of how different these two articles are. Here is the headline of the article. Do I have the source on here? Yeah, we'll get to that later. Okay, the title, What is Ivermectin? How a livestock dewormer became a rumored COVID-19 aid with bad side effects. Now remember how the previous article just talked about how safe and effective for hundreds of millions of people ivermectin was. Here we have how a livestock dewormer became a rumored COVID-19 aid with bad side effects. September 3, 2021. There have been lots of cases of liver problems and liver failure, severe GI upset, and even things like seizure and coma, says the doctor. You know things are bad when the U.S. Food and Drug Administration posts a drug warning on social media that reads, You are not a horse. You are not a cow. That's what the agency did in August to discourage consumption of ivermectin, an anti-parasitic medication most often used as a livestock dewormer that's become a sought-after yet unproven drug to treat or prevent COVID-19. So what do we learn there? Again, we're not going to get political. We're not going to give medical advice. We're not going to give personal advice other than to use your brain. One paper, several years, almost a decade almost, pre-COVID, talks about what a wonderful and safe and effective drug this is. Now, obviously, it did not advocate for using it for COVID-19. We're not doing that. We're not getting on that end of it. But then, for whatever reason, when people started to use it for that purpose, and I'll tell you this, I did a lot of reading in preparation for this. There were, to make sure I had gone through this again, there were a lot of studies that kind of went either way. So who knows? You know, that's a topic for a different episode or a different, you know, series altogether. We're not going to do that today. But the point is, the media is sitting here going this way. What do I learn from this? What do I think of myself? It shows to me the importance of getting your news and information from more than one source. The thing with legacy media, as they now call it, for years, for decades, if not longer, has had almost a stranglehold on information, okay? And if people wanted to get information, if they wanted to get news, they tuned into their nightly news broadcast or they read their local or national newspaper, and that's where they got their news from. And when we come to find out, a lot of these news organizations are controlled by a handful of companies, organizations, people, whatever, at the top. There have been numerous studies I've seen recently where they show side-by-side comparisons, and I'm sure many of you have seen these as well on social media, which is where we're going next, that so many of these news organizations, you put them side-by-side, the script or the video, they're saying almost word for word the exact same thing. You go to any of these channels or a number of channels or stations or papers or online, and you're getting the exact same message. You know, if everybody's saying the same thing, something's wrong. And that goes back to, again, part of the problem being they're not just giving us raw data, which is what I want, and what you should probably want too. I don't want someone else's opinions. They may have different beliefs than me. They may have different goals, different circumstances. I want information. The media, to a degree, there have been good journalists in the past, make no mistake. But now, especially when things are getting political, it is so, they're almost homogenous in what they're saying. So the point to me is that's why I like X. You may have heard Twitter. It goes, X is the new name for it, but fantastic. Now it's everything is wild and out in the open there. There's no censorship for the most part, except for very, very certain cases. So you have to make sure you're prepared for that. But you see so much news that is not covered by your legacy or mainstream media and other social media sources. So all I would say is expand your horizons a little bit. Don't just get your news from one place, because a lot of times the news, quote unquote, is being editorialized. You're getting someone's opinion with a few facts or suggestions stuffed in there. You want to make sure you do your research, whether it's ivermectin or whatever, medical, personal, whatever your choices are. Make sure you do your research. That's the important thing. And then you make an informed decision for yourself. As someone once said so poetically, if you do it someone else's way, you take your life in your own hands. All right, that is going to bring us to our final story of the day. Where do we have here? Oh boy, here we go. We go back to Australia. The kangaroos have been at it again. If you recall, we've had for the last two or three episodes, I don't know now, there have been these violent kangaroo attacks. Hang on, let me get a sip here. Okay. Wilson's doing too much talking. These kangaroos are no joke, man. So if you have, I'm sure everyone alive or that's listening to this has seen a kangaroo. These things are powerfully built. In many cases, they're up to, well, let's just get into the story and we'll go along with it. A man has been seriously injured after being attacked by a hulking kangaroo in Queensland. The man in his 50s was involved. The man was involved in an altercation with a 2 meter tall kangaroo at a home on Little Jim Road in Willows, Queensland's, I don't know where all this is, Queensland, Australia. Okay, Willows. So for those of you who don't do the metric system, a meter is 3.3 feet, last I remember. So 2 meters would be roughly 6.5, almost 7 feet, depending on, you know, whether the kangaroo is sticking his head up or not, stretching his neck out, whatever. Either way, this is a big animal, and in several articles I've read, they can get to up to and over 200 pounds. They've got very dynamically, powerfully strong legs, obviously, for jumping and such, but they have a absolutely ripped upper body as well, and they frequently have a bad attitude. They like to get in there and punch it out. I mean, they're like the bar fighters of the animal world. They see you, and they don't like the cut of your jib. They don't like your face. They don't like your attitude. They're going to come in there and start throwing hands or paws or whatever they call their hand things on kangaroos. I don't know. What happened next? The poor man, who is unnamed, I believe, sustained hip injuries and serious lacerations to his arms and chest during the altercation, according to the ambulance service. He came out of his house, walked around to get into his vehicle to drive and go shopping. There was a buck and doe, a male and female kangaroo. And the doe took off, but according to Underhill, I don't even know who Underhill is. He doesn't seem to be named elsewhere in this article, so I'm guessing he is law enforcement or some official of some sort. The buck bloody attacked him and really attacked him in a big way, Underhill said. Underhill estimated the kangaroo to be about 2 meters tall and noted kangaroos had lived in the area for years without issue. Well, that is no longer the case, Mr. Underhill, no disrespect intended. This kangaroo had a bad attitude and took it out on this poor man from Willows who had hip injuries and serious lacerations. So if you recall from last week, one of the fighting tactics that these kangaroos like to do is to get you in a headlock and then kick you in the face with their powerful feet and legs and their toe claws, just slice and dice you. I did some research. I haven't got around to putting in images into the video version of this yet. Some poor guy a couple of years ago, he got, I didn't think he would survive. I saw the medical images of this kangaroo attack. His insides were coming out. This guy got, I mean, he got hurt bad. That kangaroo took him down to Chinatown. So, despite that, authorities did issue a public warning about two large male kangaroos and willows as they may pose a danger. These roos have been around here for years and we've never had a problem, but unfortunately, these two big bucks have taken in their heads to attack people, Underhill said. Just remember, if you find yourself in Australia, according to last week's episode, we now know that pepper spray is effective on kangaroos. So, just a thought. Make sure you have yours ready. Okay, that's going to do it for us, folks. We are done today. Remember, don't wait until you have an emergency to prepare for it. It may be too late if you wait. If you don't make it out alive, you don't make it out at all. Stay safe out there, folks.